So there is no short Maimer on Parshas Vayakel. So what I decided to do is take an excerpt of a Maimer that was recited by the Rebbe on a Shabbos Parshas Vayakel. The year was Tavshin Yudala, 1954. This is like one of the early Maimarim. And what I did is I made a photocopy for you just of the first couple of lines. And the first couple of lines is the opening question. There's a lot of questions. This begins with a lot of questions. I got a page of questions. And then I went straight into the initial beer, the opening explanation of the Maimer. I'll try to give you a little of the before and after. So the Maimer opens up with the words Vayakel Moshe Eskol Adas Bnei Yisrael. The Maimer opens as the Parsha opens. The verse says that Moshe Rabbeinu congregated or gathered together all of the children of Israel. Vayemir Aleim, and he said to them, Eile Hadvarim Asher Tziva Havaya Lasis Esam. These are the things that God has commanded me, or that God has commanded be done. What are they? Sheishas Yomim, Teyasim Malocha. The 6 days works to be done. V'yemashvi, and on the seventh day, Shabbos Shabbosin. So Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the Jewish people together. Ostensibly, he's going to be conveying to them the details of the Mishkan. But first, he speaks about the concept of working for 6 days, resting on the seventh, the idea of Shmirat Shabbat. Umam Shabbakosov. And then the pasuk continues. Vayemir Moshe shall call Das Bnei Yisrael. Moshe says to the entire congregation of Israel, Leimer Ze Hadavar Asher Tziva Havaya. This is the thing that God commanded. Shezehu Hatzivoi Beinyan HaMishkan, which that then is understood to be the commandment with regard to God's mobile home, and the Melachas HaMishkan, the building, the fabrication, the construction of that very structure. There are many diyukim when we analyze these verses precisely. There are many things that kind of come to the fore. And amongst them is, what does it mean when it says, Moshe said he congregated? From this it seems, when Moshe congregated everybody, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be talking about something general, overarching. A broad, all-inclusive kind of thing that he has to talk about, something foundational and important. Shalachain, that's why. Hutzich lahakil, that's why he had to gather as kol adas bnei Yisrael. Because, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was always gathering the people, and he was always giving them commandments. That was his job. He was the lawgiver. God gave the laws, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the laws, he would gather the people together, he would give them the laws. So, b'shar hadibres, by the other commandments, or other statements that Moshe Rabbeinu made to the Jewish people, we don't find this, that Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the Jewish people together. The Torah just says, Vayidaber Moshe. Moshe spoke, Al Bnei Yisrael. Doesn't say he gathered them first. And later on, when it comes to the actual discussion of the Mishkan, it doesn't say that he gathered them. But here it does say he gathered them. So the Rebbe says, Shemizeh Muvan, at least on a deeper perspective, this has to be understood, Shezeu Inyan Kloli, that there's something broad, overarching, and general being conveyed here. It's not just a specific mitzvah. I mean, the Mishkan is an important thing. It's overarching. It represents God's presence amongst us, but it's still a specific mitzvah. It doesn't take the place of many other mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that have to be done still have to be done, Mishkan or not. So when there's this general introduction, which requires a broad gathering, an ingathering of the people, then there has to be something bigger going on here. In other words, there's this tantalizing supposition that there's more than meets the eye here. This is not simply a detail. It's not only about a Mishkan. It's not only about the materials that will be required, but something bigger is going on. There's a bigger picture. It's not overt. You don't necessarily know what it is, but if you look carefully at these verses, you'll see that something more foundational is being introduced. This is the supposition that the Maimer makes. That's the kind of the working supposition is that something bigger is going on here. It can't be just a detail. So for Tzarech Lahavim, we have to understand Ma'u Inyim B'zeh. Now, in the rest, next to 70% of this paragraph, the Rebbe goes through details in this pasuk, asking many detailed questions, seeming redundancies and the verbiage employed. He also introduces the commentary of the Ramban, who suggests that ultimately this is just a preamble to the Mishkan itself, and it's not a secondary or mutually exclusive of the Mishkan. And the Rebbe points out a number of issues with that approach, and he comes back to the same conclusion. There's got to be something bigger here. So what is it? Okay. So now you can go back to your page. So the Yuvanzer. Siv Beis, the second paragraph of the Maimer, the Rebbe begins that since we're talking about Shabbos, and we know Shabbos is comprised of certain kinds of work which we don't do. In fact, 39 different forms of work which are not done, right? So the Rebbe is going to suggest in this Maimer now that the 39 different forms of work actually encompass the entirety of the human experience. The entirety of the human experience. Everything that a person experiences is covered in these 39 malachas. And that's why this is a broad and general overarching statement. It's not just about mitzvah kept once a week, which is Shomer Shabbat, but rather this is an overview of what a yid's life is supposed to look like.
When you say malachot, it's like physical work.
Malachot don't have to, if you mean physical, mean toil, then that's not the case.
When I say physical work, like even making a coffee, I mean everything that has to do with...
Why do you have to go so far as making a coffee? That takes effort. How about striking a match? How about writing two letters?
Just doing.
No, you can't. Not just doing. Depends. You can work very hard. You schlep heavy boxes and not be violating Shabbos. Right? But if you have a ches in the Sefer Torah, which is comprised of a vav and a zayin, and you simply divide, scratch the ink away from the middle, now you created a vav and a zayin, or there was once a ches, that removal of a small bit of ink is a violation of Shabbos. It created two words, right. Two letters.
So how it encompasses all...
How does it encompass? Very good. Go back to the drawing board. Now we're going to continue in the Maimer. I just gave you the preamble. So the Rebbe says, let's understand Klal Sinyan Halamites Malachas. Let's understand this idea of the 39 different forms of work. Now listen to this. Now, what the Rebbe is going to talk about here is discussed at length in the Maimarim of the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe, and even in Tzemach Tzedek. But still, there's a lot of novelty here, and it's beautifully arranged, as you'll see. The Rebbe wrote in this Maimer, he never actually edited it, but he wrote on the copy of the Maimer, the Rebbe wrote Malukat, which means collected. So the Rebbe collected a lot of different things and put them under one. It's interesting, very unusual that Rebbe should write on a Maimer, because if he didn't edit the Maimer. The Rebbe saw this Maimer as they had written it down, what he said, and he wrote on a Malukat, that it's gathered. So, the Hine Inyan HaMalacha Hula Hashlim Es Tzerecha Adam. Let's talk about work. Why do people work? What is the purpose of work? Why work? The answer is because without work, we're missing something. We work to try to complete that which is otherwise incomplete. There are missing parts of our life. A person is born naked and hungry and shelterless. Okay, so now we have to fix certain things. In order for us to have a healthy equilibrium, in order for us to be happily settled, in order for us to be able to function, we need certain things. And invariably, you can't wait for it to rain from the heavens. If you need certain things, you have to make the effort to do those things. So malacha, work generally, from a Torah perspective, is lahashlim es tzeirecha adam. It's to fill needs. Work is not to fill time. You don't need to work to fill time. Study Torah to fill time. Serve Hashem. So what will happen in a time when there will be plenty in every area? We won't work. What will we do? La'yir esek kol ha'olam kulei. The desire and the focus of the entire world will be Ladas es Hashem, to know Hashem. So a human being is built for knowledge, to know, and specifically to know Hashem. So why do we have this idea of work, of toil, of effort? Why did God create us? Amal Adam la Amal Yulad. A person is created for work. Why? Because we have to fix things. Things aren't perfect. We have a job to do. We have to make up things. We have to perfect things. The raw materials are given to us. We have to work with the raw materials in order to make it right.
I guess when Mashiach will be here, we'll still be able to write. We still need to dress up. And this is a malacha that we have also to
In the desert, the Jewish people didn't have to dress. The clothes they had stayed with them. And if you don't like your wardrobe, you were stuck for like 40 years. But
Harry Rosen went to bankrupt.
The clothing years will not be busy when Mashiach comes. I can guarantee you that. So malacha is lahashlam tzedek adam. The mitzadze shehu tzarech leizah davar. Because a person needs something, lachein huay says a malacha. That's why he does the work. How does David say every morning? I owe. Off to work I go. Okay. You have a need. You go off to work. V'kivan shaklalos tzarech adam nechlakam l'gimul dvarim. Because as a rule, a person's needs can be divided, perhaps simplistically, somewhat, but nonetheless, accurately, into Gimel Dvarim. We can divide a person's basic needs into three different realities. There's three things a person needs. And we're talking here, this would be the bottom of Maslow's chart. This would be like what we call the biological needs, like the basic needs. We're not talking about arts and entertainment. We're not talking about spiritual meaning and pursuit, right? This is not the Viktor Frankl theory of what a person really needs. But obviously, a person needs satisfaction in life. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a material sense. What does a person need, materially speaking, in order to be happy, settled, comfortable? What's a person need? So the answer is there are three things a person needs. Mazon. Mazon means food, sustenance. Levush means clothing. And finally, a person needs a bayit. A person needs shelter in an environment. These are the three things we need. V'lochein, therefore, gam alametes malach is the 39 different forms of work which are proscribed in the Shabbos. She'inyonam, that the whole idea of lamed tes malachas, of 39 forms of work, are lahashlem esarchi adam, are to complete a person's material needs, or chemical or biological needs. Nechalokim gamken begimel pelugei seilo. They're also divided along these three fault lines. There's something called the Tana, Sedura de Pasnarkat, that says, the Gemara says, that the sage, he created an order of bread. An order of bread means everything from chodesh to zereya, from plowing to planting. It's all to get the vegetation. It's all so you have what to eat. That's called sedura de pas. And that goes all the way down to baking and cooking. That's all malachas b'mazon. So malachas b'mazon is not all in the kitchen. Much of it is out in the field or in the factory. But it's all in the development of creating the circumstances that will allow raw materials to grow, and then harvesting those raw materials, and then developing those raw materials to the point that they're sitting on a plate in front of you. All of that's prohibited. The whole tahalich, the entire journey is prohibited. From the plowing, which is not even planting, just preparing the ground so that the seed should go into the ground and not die, all the way down to the actual meal on the plate that you're going to eat. Then there's another set of lamates malachas, and that is related to clothing. There's teva, ve'oireg, there's weaving, there's spinning. All of this is connected to malachas belavush. It's all about clothing. It's all about, so from getting the sheep's here, shearing the sheep, to cleaning the sheep's here, to sorting it, to combing it, to spinning it, to weaving it, to sewing it, to cutting it, to basting, all these things. It's all things which are prohibited by the Torah, and all this is part of the journey of creating clothing. And then there's the idea of home building, creating an environment. You're not allowed to build, you're not allowed to destroy, assuming that the destruction that the demolition is for the purpose of creating a space in which you can build. So it's all related. It all comes back to that. And that's Malachas Lechem Abayis. So really we could take all the Lamates Malachas and we could divide them into three portions. And three portions are food, clothing, and shelter. So for good, work is in order to make up what we're missing, in order for us to have what's required, what's necessary, which we don't naturally have. So turtles don't have to work to get clothes. They wear, their clothes are part of them, right? The snail is born with his clothes. What does he have to do? He has to find food. How about environment? He can live in his shell too. Doesn't need that. Most animals don't have a home. And today they put dogs in little baby carriages and they build them little houses. I know, I understand. But really, dogs don't need that for happiness. And I'm not even so sure they're happy. I think the animals are being tortured, forced to live like people. I'm not so sure the dog wants to be wheeled around in a baby carriage wearing a diaper. I'm totally not convinced that that's what it wants. It's going on. Go to the promenade. It's like
the three categories of concepts brought down by the happy. This is original thought.
Is this original? So this is somewhat original. And it's based on the antecedent of the teaching of the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe, which is, right, these are uniquely human. Only human beings have. There are some animals that need to eat. Some animals don't really need, you know, to work. Even ants are carrying food. They're preparing food. They don't really need a home and a shelter. Some animals actually build themselves, like birds build a nest. Right? They create an environment. Beavers build themselves a little dam. They do create. Some animals do create a home. But there's no animal that has the need of food, clothing, and shelter. The three of these is uniquely human. There is no other creature on the face of the earth. Some animals need to forage for food, most animals, some animals don't. Some animals need some kind of shelter, some don't. Clothing doesn't exist, besides the dogs in Thornhill. But other clothes, it's a uniquely human thing. So now the Rebbe is going to say, so what does this mean? If this is the case in a superficial way, in a material way, it has to represent something deeper, because everything that Hashem created is both body and soul. So if the body needs these three things, let's talk now about the neshama. A more profound understanding of this will be developed as follows. The hine. Hamazin in yonei shenichnas bepnimis adam. If you have to kind of define food, what is food? Food is something which enters the person. Umekasher es hanefesh im haguf. Food is the mechanism, the vehicle, the means through which we are able to link body and soul. Now, v'im heyeis, v'ahino, im heyeis shebevadai, i'efshar leimar, sh'hanefesh mekabel es chayes me'hamazin. Despite the fact that it makes no sense to say that the soul needs a piece of bread or a hamburger. It doesn't make sense. Why would a soul need to consume proteins or carbohydrates? What does the soul need it for? The soul lives for eternity. In heaven, does the soul need to eat? Only the ancient Egyptians and the Aztec were busy preparing funerals and tombs that were filled with wheat and bread and things that could last in case the soul needed to eat. A normal person understands that a soul doesn't need to eat. If it's a soul, it doesn't need to eat. So what do you mean? You don't feed the soul. What do you feed? You feed the body. But inasmuch as mikol makim kiven shi efshel la'er b'li kli, since you cannot have light without a vessel, a vehicle to carry it in, you can't just have fire. The fire has to have a wick. The fire has to have fuel. The fire has to have some kind of container. You can't just have a handful of fire. Here, have a handful of fire. It doesn't work that way. So light has to be contained in something. So the soul cannot achieve anything in this world without the body. It needs the body.
It's not a soul.
Nefesh is not a soul. Nefesh very much is a soul. It's not. It's a level of the soul. There are five levels. There's nefesh, there's ruach, and there's neshama. And then there's chayi yechida. But nefesh is not a body.
No.
It's what you would call maybe consciousness. Does consciousness need hamburgers? What, Cheerios? Does consciousness require to be fed? Does it get tired? It's that's what gives life to the body. So you don't feed the soul, but without feeding the body, the soul, body and soul will not remain together. Eventually, if you don't eat, the body will reach such a weakened state until it's no longer able to hold on to the soul. Hinezel pu'ulas hamazon. What does food do? What happens when we ingest proteins and carbohydrates? What happens? It doesn't really sustain the soul. It's mechazik es haguf. It strengthens the body. And what happens when the body is strong? Sheyia kli lenefesh. Then it can be a vessel. It can be a convention for the soul that can contain the soul. Sheoz miskasheres hanefesh im haguf. That's when the body, the soul, can connect itself to the body, when it has a body to talk to. But if it doesn't have a body to talk to, if the body is too weak to contain it, so then it just simply goes its own way. So even though souls don't eat food, but nimshach teisefes chayes gam ba nefesh. When you feed the body, who else finds strength? The soul. Because the soul needs to express itself in a body. And because a body that's too weak can't contain a soul, and because the soul utilizes the body to be able to express itself in this world, so ultimately, when you feed yourself, when you're eating, who else are you nourishing, ultimately? You're ultimately nourishing, it says, tzaddik oichel l'seiva nafshei. The tzaddik eats the Shlomo HaMelech to satiate a soul. And when a person is well-fed and satiated, he can function differently. He thinks differently. He relates differently. He emotes differently. All these human qualities about a person. A person is starving. Starving. Irritable, frustrated, unable to think, unable to function, unable to process information. But really and truly, those are things that consciousness does. So, but in as much as consciousness doesn't need to be fed, if the body isn't fed, then the soul will simply collapse. Then the soul's not able to function.
How does the soul differ when it leaves and when it's amazed and it leaves? And
When the soul leaves, it's no longer in this world, except for extraordinary tzaddikim. Most souls that pass on, they leave this world. And they're no longer connected to this world. Only very special tzaddikim remain in this world afterwards. And the only way that body and soul remain together is if there's consumption of proteins and carbohydrates. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. So, kivan, shadafka al yedei haguf, since it's only through the body, that yecholah hanefesh lifu polasa, v'ini kol zeu b'mazin, this is all about food. All about food. Like, think about it very simply. If a person doesn't eat, what will happen eventually? They will die. Why? Why? What? At what point was there an injury sustained that harmed the body to the point that it can no longer keep body and soul together? At a certain point, the body gets weaker and weaker and weaker. At a certain point, the body has no strength left. When the body has no strength left, it can't hold on to the soul. The soul is like a raging fire. It's always like, so to speak, it's seeking something higher. It's always trying to escape in a certain way. But it doesn't really want to escape, so it comes back. But then there's a yearning. So that yearning is unfettered, unchecked. It just keeps going. And at some point, like helium, it just leaves.
But this is valid for any human being.
Of course it's valid for any human being. Sure it is.
So when we speak about soul...
Every human being has a nefesh.
It
doesn't have nefesh alikis. There's a certain level of soul. The level of soul which is nourished by Shabbos candles and mezuzahs and tefillin and cholent, yeah, it doesn't have that kind of soul. But every human being has a soul. Of course, human being has a soul. Even every animal has a soul. In fact, every grain of corn has a soul. Only it's a very different kind of soul. It's not a soul soul. It's a spark of godliness that animates it. But we talk about a living thing with consciousness. Of course it has. Even a plant has consciousness on some level. We may not be able to detect it. What do plants need? They need hydration. What happens if the plant gets no hydration? It withers and dies. So this is all about the concept of food. On the minyan halavush, when it comes to clothes, halilezu bavache nichnas apimis adam, don't eat your shirt, not a good idea. Elo shahumi bachutz la'adam, it remains outside of a person. And in fact, it's makif alaf, it cloaks the person, it wraps the person. Ve'im heyes halavush mi bachutz la'adam makif alaf, even though on some level the clothes are not really a part of me. They surround me. They're outside me. I don't ingest them. I don't digest them. Mikol makom hanei umegin al adam. It still provides a very valuable service. It shields me. It protects me. Shemegin alav mechayim umikshamim. It can protect a person from extreme heat. When somebody's out there and they get sunstroke unless he's wearing proper clothing. When you're out there in a cold day like today, if you're not wearing proper clothing, you actually will die. You'll get hypothermia and die. What else does clothing do for a person? Because our clothes don't just cover the subject. We don't wear burlap sacks. We wear nice clothes. What do clothes do for a person? Huh? It makes you look like a mensch. It's poil b'yoyfi. It adds a certain beauty. It adds a beauty. Style. There's substance and style. There's a substance of clothes, and that's wearing a bag. A paper bag is just the same theory as wearing clothing, if we want to talk about covering the subject. But a person dressed like a mensch. People like to wear certain kind of clothing, dress a certain kind of way, different clothing, change the clothing. Why? You need clothing. If you finally fit clothing that fits you, you just have the same clothing every day. There is such a thing. It's called a uniform. It lends a certain credibility. Somebody's, when a police officer is wearing a police uniform, when a fire person is wearing a fire uniform, they look like there's a certain respect that they garner. When they're wearing civilian clothes, automatically they don't get that respect until they flash their badge. Why? Because they're identified by the clothes. And then there are the rest of us who just keep changing our suits and ties, our blouses and skirts. Why? Because it's style. Because it adds a certain dimension of beauty to our life. Like the saying of our sages, which is found in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, page 113, the korle lemani, that the mayor called clothing, mechabdusa, my honor. He called it honor. Ach, in abayis, shelter, whom v'chutz l'adam gamri. Inasmuch as clothing wrap around you, but they still fit you. And some say that's ridiculous. Bad clothes, bad choice. What were you thinking this morning? Right? They have these things of famous people wearing ridiculous looking clothes. most of them are hardly wearing clothes, but whatever. And they say, what was this person thinking? It's a good question. I don't know sometimes. But the point is, the clothes that we wear very much have to be what we call matim. It has to match us. And there are certain people that wear certain colors or certain cuts or certain styles. Either it makes them look a certain way, one way or the other. It's very much connected to you. It surrounds you. It's your personal moxie, the clothing you wear. But then we get to a home, and the home doesn't fit you. You can't wear your house unless you're a turtle. It surrounds you, but in a much more distant way. We live within the confines of our home, but we don't wear our home. But on the other hand, gam habayis megin al adam. If you had to be wearing very nice and sturdy clothing, but you'd be left out in the cold, just left out in the cold, homeless, how would life go? Not very good. In fact, the Gemara says that a person who doesn't have a home, his humanity is diminished. So habayis megin al adam. Shabayis hu mechasa mizerum umimotar. The home provides shelter from inclement forms of weather. The gampoil b'yoyfi. The home also adds a certain dimension of beauty. This is my house. And you could see from a person's house what kind of person they are. You could see from the art on the walls. You could see whether there's Jewish books or not. You could see from the style of furniture. You can see. The home speaks about us. It's our home. This is the way we choose to live. Kamesha Kosov, like it says, and this is an open pasuk in Yesheyo, it says, Teferes Adam Lesheves Boyes. It's beautiful for a person to live within the framework of a home. So, okay, we didn't get very far in this maimer, but this is really just a very tiny excerpt of the maimer. The point that this maimer makes, that Rebbe goes through now all of these three different things, and he speaks about what each has, which the other one doesn't have, and then he takes the reasons as the reason that we have this food, shelter, and clothing, as he further analyzes it, is because this is the case within the reality of divinity, and he identifies within the Seder Shtauslos of the divine psyche or persona these three notions and what they mean in a spiritual sense. And then he translates that back into Avedus Hashem. What does it mean in our service towards Hashem? You know, till he fully develops the whole Maimer. So basically the point of the Maimer, that I didn't go through the rest of the questions. So the question of Maimer is, what are we talking about here? What is this thing that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to tell the Jewish people? Vayakel Moshe. And the answer is, he gathered them together to explain to them that life, all of life, is part of serving Hashem. That all the basic needs of life, from food to clothing to shelter, all represents the concept of serving Hashem, and that's why we have to work to get these things. But these things have to be worked on 6 days a week, and then of course there's the Shabbos, in which we don't work on these things. We can benefit from the things we work on during the 6 days. We don't actively create these things, and so on and so forth, and ultimately how working on these things right and utilizing the abilities and the raw materials that Hashem gives us is what creates the Dira B'Tachtonim, the dwelling place for God, which dovetails right back to the first point of this is a Mishkan, making a dwelling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Yeah. There's still some kind of code of conduct, you know, because wearing clothes, it's unlimited. You could buy a suit at, I don't know, 500, or you could buy a suit at 10,000. You could buy a house, normal house.
That's exactly the point. You're saying that there's a range within food and shelter.
That's right.
There's a range within, you can get fast food, you can get very expensive food. Of course there's a range, that's the point. These are overarching terms which are inclusive of all of life. And there's a range in everything, but they still get fit. It's still going to be nourishment or clothing or food or shelter. And all of this has to be utilized for a holy and a sacred purpose. Anyway, just a little excerpt. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you everybody for joining us. And we'll continue to study Torah, hopefully. And be zeiche to the Dira B'Tachtonim, Hashem dwelling amongst us, b'mheido, b'yameinu, amen.